I said, I can't start till I feel that we're in the flow. Thank you. I feel that already. Praise the Lord. From the prophet Jeremiah, this is the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Oh, some of you have your Bibles and want to follow. Jeremiah 31, 31. God gave this word to Jeremiah at a time when his people were being sorely punished for their sins. And what a wonderful word, a word of hope that has been gloriously fulfilled, as we shall see. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the promise that God made to his sinful, disobedient people of a new covenant that he would make after those days, it says. After those days, that after the days of exile. He didn't say specifically when it would be, but we know that this was fulfilled in Christ. Now let's turn to Matthew 26. And this was the supper that we call the Last Supper. Jesus had great desire to have a meal with his disciples before he went to the cross for them and for us. And it says in the 26th verse, again, Matthew 26, 26, Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, I read that far because the plan is that after the communion service, we're going to sing a hymn, and the youth conference group is going to leave. And I hope that all the staff members, though, even those that are part of the youth conference, will stay in place here. What, you say? Okay. Because on this night, we also pray for the whole staff. So after they leave, I would like you to stay behind for just a few moments while we have prayer for our staff, okay, the counselors and the kitchen staff and all those who are in fourth period staff. We'd like to pray with you. And then you may also go if you're part of that conference and feel free to leave. I'll tell you when. Maybe we'll sing another hymn. Who knows? But this happened on that great night. You know what, I love to think of Jesus standing to say, you know, in some of the translations it says, and in the margin here too, I believe, it says, the new covenant in my blood. That was really an amazing claim when you think of it. The people of God had waited. They didn't know for how long they were going to wait. They had waited for the fulfillment of this great promise that God had given through Jeremiah. After the exile, after those days, I will establish this covenant. Now, here is the night, Jesus is saying, when this covenant is ratified. Right now, what a momentous occasion. This new covenant that they've been waiting for now for hundreds of years, over 500 years since this promise had been given, yes, at least, yes, more. And they'd been waiting for its fulfillment. And Jesus stands in this small group and says, tonight, now, my blood will be shed, and my blood is the blood of the new covenant. That's a tremendous, tremendous word that he gave there. And that's what we celebrate tonight. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What was it that was promised? I'll forgive their sins. Jesus said that too. This was the provision of the new covenant that he mentioned here, but we read before that there were other blessings connected with it as well. But he said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now that's the foundational blessing of the new covenant. Jesus took my place. In my place condemned, he stood and sealed my pardon. I can be forgiven all of my sins because Jesus took my place on the cross. He died for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Forgiveness full and free is mine because of Jesus' blood shed for me. This is the promise of the new covenant fulfilled when Jesus died on the cross for us. Then you have the central blessing. I probably should have read from Romans 8 when I spoke about this, because what the law could not do, Jeremiah says, or the Lord says through him, that I will write my laws in your heart and in your mind. I'll give you a heart to do my will. You'll love me and want to please me, and I will give you the strength to do it. In your mind and in your heart, I will write my laws, and you will be those who can walk in my favor, under my blessing. There's the central blessing of the new covenant. Writing God's laws in my heart and yours. And then, know the Lord. Know the Lord. They shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. I will be merciful. It doesn't happen again without that mercy of God and that forgiveness for sins. That's the basis. But beyond that, we go to the crowning blessing, which is knowing the Lord, fellowship with him. Here, the new covenant is coming into effect. Jesus dies on the cross for us. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your blood shed for me. Blessed Redeemer. Oh, how I love him. I don't want to take your time too long. I just have to tell you, some of you knew Sister Caroline. She was one of the, she was the wife of Brother Gordon. And they were the directors of this camp for the first 40 or so years here at Brant Lake. And I remember I was already sitting on the platform in those days, so it was probably in the early 80s or somewhere there. And we were having communion, we were in meeting, we sang this song. And she was out there in front of me visiting, I guess, from here. They had come down from camp for this meeting. And I watched her sing. And I never sing Blessed Redeemer without thinking of her. She was already ill. I suppose that was the illness that later took her life. And you could see the evidences of that. But I saw her sing, "Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore." And I saw her hands raised, and I don't know if it's in memory of her, but I almost always raise my hand when I sing that verse. I think it's also just in a response, an outflow of love and thanksgiving to Jesus forever giving his life for me. And then the third passage, 1 Corinthians 11. This is the word of the Lord also. And the Apostle Paul was teaching the Corinthians about this service. "I received it from the Lord. That which I delivered to you, I received from the Lord." And Paul is telling the church that this is a service that is to be kept. And how to do it. "The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread." 11:23 I started with. "The Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." This is also an opportunity for God's people to examine their hearts before him. And it especially has to do with our relationships in the body of Christ, how we think of and act toward each other. And the Lord wants those relationships, those associations, to be right, for the love of Jesus to reign in our hearts. And he says here that we should examine ourselves so that we can eat and drink in a worthy manner. But it's a most interesting thing that he says, "Let us examine ourselves and so eat." He doesn't say examine yourself and refrain from eating. He says examine yourself and eat as an examined person, as one who has examined himself, so eat. That means he doesn't leave us wiggle room, does he? He says examine yourself and make things right. I want you here. I want you partaking of me. You, of all people who have sinned in this way, you need me. So examine yourself, make it right. And this is a time for all of us to come before the Lord in sincere self-examination and ask him to make everything right. And tell him that we are willing to do so. At our first opportunity, if it involves approaching someone else and making something right, I will do it, Lord, at my first opportunity. But I will come to your table now, having examined myself, and eat this way and drink of your body and blood, Lord. I want to partake of you. And so I am confident that the Lord wants me to make the invitation wide to everyone who knows Jesus as Savior, everyone who has come into the family of God, forsaking his sins, believing in Jesus, this feast is for you. And this feast is meant for your benefit. Do this in remembrance of me. And we join a long line all the way from the days of the early church when Jesus first instituted this feast, all the way through till today, and all the way through till he comes again. This feast is to be kept. Why? Because the Lord wants us to remember him in this way. His great love, the great lengths that he went to make us his own. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everything else pales in comparison to this. When we come to the cross of Christ and see your love manifested. Father, in this, your love was manifested. You sent Jesus to be our Savior. And the love of Christ was shown when he laid down his life for us that we might live. In fellowship and communion with God here and there forever. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah.